Morning again. It's good to be here with you. Once again, I have, for those of you that know, I've been watching my children for the last few days. Since Thursday, my wife has been in Alaska. It was her birthday, and I gave her a kind of a birthday present, which I am really regretting, but I sent her to Alaska. Her parents are up there, and a lot of our friends are up there, and so she's gone, and I have the kids till Wednesday. So it was, if you saw me this morning, I came, you know, walking in, just kind of staggering, you know, trying to make my way here. It's been a hard road. I have 72 hours and 20 minutes left, so she'll be home. Yeah, you got to go. Yeah. I've learned to be a dentist this week. I've learned to be a hairdresser. I've learned to be a dishwasher. I've learned to be so many other things. And I have gained a whole new appreciation for stay-at-home parents. I really have. So, Melanie, I don't know how you do it. I just don't understand how you do it. So I am emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally not stable this morning, okay? So you think I'm kidding, too. Yeah, I'm not. Turn with me, if you would, to, we're going way back, Old Testament, Genesis. If you can't find Genesis, then it's the first book, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we're looking at a very familiar story, Cain and Abel. Most of us have been, you know, in Sunday school and so forth, and we've learned the basics about that story, Cain and Abel. And we know pretty much, at least we've had the notion that Abel was pretty much blessed by God and Cain was not. But it goes a lot deeper than that, and I think the Lord's going to show us that today and reveal some things to you that will bless you and also challenge you. And the title of the message today is, If Cain Could Talk. If Cain could talk or if Cain could speak, if he were here today, I believe he would say some things to us and to say, hey, pay attention to this because I went through this and you need to pay attention to it. And so that's our message today in Genesis chapter 4, 1 through 15. So if you would, stand with me as we read the Word of God. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Okay, here we go. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So obviously, Cain was older. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. Verse 5, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Verse 8, Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Let's pause there for a moment. What kind of anger do you think is in Cain's heart or in his life that would make a brother rise up and kill, literally murder another brother, flesh and blood? This is not an anger that is just on the surface. This is not an anger that, oh, you did something to offend me and I'll get over it. No, this went deep in Cain's life if he's going to go and kill another brother. We all say we have problems. We don't have problems like this. This is problematic. Verse number 9, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10, he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. God says you're going to do what you've done before, but you're not going to get the same result. Verse 13, Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." So the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. Let's go back real quick to verse 2 and verse 3 and 4. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings, the best, of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. If Cain could talk today, if he could speak today, after going through this, Cain did something. He presented an offering to the Lord, and because of that offering, God had no regard for it, and he got angry, and he went after and killed his brother. He directed his anger towards somebody and killed him. And because he made that decision, he was a wanderer for the rest of his life. Isn't it amazing how some decisions can affect some things we do years and years and years later? If Cain could talk today, he would tell us a few things. And we're going to look at this, and I believe it's our assignment for today, and God has this for our church, for you, this morning. Let's pray. God, as Lisa prayed earlier, we pray that our hearts would receive this word. Holy Spirit, do something in us, in our minds, in our lives. Reveal things to us. Lord, we know that you come down and personally touch us. We know that you come down and want to speak directly to us. Yes, this word is for us corporately, but it's also for us individually. And I ask, Holy Spirit, you do that. You would step across pews, that you would go through doors, that you would reach hearts, so that we would leave here changed, a better person, a mature Christian, a better equipped follower of Jesus. Thank you for this time that we have, that we can preach the word. Let it take root in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I won't ask you to stand again. Here we go. There are two kinds of offerings that we can bring before the Lord. When we're talking about offerings today, when I'm talking about offerings, I'm not just talking about financial giving. I'm talking about offering ourselves, our entire being, our mind, our bodies, our hearts, our strength, our souls, our finances. I'm talking about a holistic offering to God. There are two kinds of offerings, a choice that we can bring before the Lord here today. Jesus said the greatest thing that you can do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's a complete holistic offering. Financial giving, though, is a manifestation of what's already happening inside your heart. I'll say that again since I fumbled it, okay? Financial giving is just the outward manifestation of what's going on in here, is financially giving. And the Lord says there's two kinds of offerings you can bring before the Lord. We're going to look at Abel's offering, and we're going to look at Cain's offering. In your notes, the first offering that you can bring before your Lord. You know, I don't have the notes here. Did we get the notes in the bulletin? We did, right? Okay. I do need one. I want to make sure that... Thank you. Thanks. Okay, yeah. The two choice offerings here. The first offering that we can bring before the Lord is the first fruit offering. You can write that in. The first fruit offering. Let's look at verse 3. It says, "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. Abel had a better offering because it was the first male goat. It was the first, it was the best, it was the best thing, the fat portions. And in the Old Testament, it was important that you brought the best of what you had in your animal stock and in your possessions before the Lord. And that was important because a male goat was the only possible way to reproduce, if you think about it, and increase your flock. It was important that the Old Testament, the guys who had these herds, they had males in their flocks. So when Abel presented a goat that was male to the Lord said, yes, that is what I'm looking for, because it requires obedience. It requires a little sacrifice to give your first, to give your goat, the male goat. And it requires a little faith that you're going to be able to reproduce your flock. If you give all the male goats away, you're not going to have any more reproduction going on. So to give that to the Lord, it required a lot of faith on Abel's part. Say, here you go, God. Here's the best male I can give you. This is the best. He's the fattest. He's the nicest. Here it is. We're going to sacrifice him. That's why in Hebrews it says, by faith Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain to the Lord. By faith. It was by faith. So that's important when we understand the first fruit offering. The second kind of offering in your note that we can bring to God is, and this is one the kind of the first thing if he could talk, it's leftovers. Leftovers. Everybody say leftovers. There's two kinds of offerings we can bring. The first, the best we have, right off the top, the male goat, or we can bring leftovers. Cain brought leftovers. He was a tiller of the ground. It required no sacrifice. It required no faith. He brought leftovers, things that just fell to the wayside. Abel brought the first and the best. So the second kind of offering is leftovers. So if Cain were here, I believe he would tell us, number one there, right below that, if Cain were here, if he could talk, he would say, don't give God, what? Leftovers. Put that in your notes if you would. Don't give God leftover offerings. The reason why Cain's offering was not accepted, there was no blood given. And I need to explain this a little bit to understand the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, blood of the firstborn or of the fattened calf, it qualified a sufficient offering before the Lord. Because there was no blood, there was no faith. Because there, in the Old Testament, you had to have the spilling of blood to have a sacrifice before God. Praise the Lord, we don't have to do that today, right? You know, cutting ourselves or whatever, our dogs and our cats, and here you go, God. We don't have to do that. But in the Old Testament, they did have to do that. The blood spill and blood shedding was very important. Not just any blood, but the blood of the best animal. Are you tracking with me? The blood of the best animal needed to be sacrificed before God. So Cain bringing an offering, a sacrifice to God that had no bloodshed, was not a sufficient sacrifice before the Lord. This is a Christological principle, which is amazing for what was to come in the New Testament. In other words, that's why the blood of Jesus is so important, because his blood was the sacrifice, and it was only by Christ's blood that we are able to receive forgiveness of sins. How many know that to be true? And God sent the best. It was the best. It was his firstborn, and it was the blood on the cross why we were able. That was the sacrifice that paid our sins. Wow, so we're talking about Christ here. We don't have to sacrifice our animals. Christ has already done all of that for us. All we have to do is receive Christ. Nothing but the blood. What has washed away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why the blood of Jesus is so important. That's why Cain's offering was not accepted. There was no bloodshed. Not only that, it wasn't the best goat. There was no animal. It required no faith. It required no sacrifice. And I need to say, leftover offerings that we give before the Lord, whether it be financial, whether it be how we come into this place to worship, whether it be whatever we want to give as far as an offering to the Lord, if it requires no faith and if it requires no sacrifice, you need to seriously consider what kind of offering you're bringing to God. And I'm going to talk about finances here in a little bit. How many of you know leftover food, not in all cases, but most leftover food is not as good as original, hot, made-from-scratch meal, except for maybe Thanksgiving, right, which we're coming up. How many of you like leftover Thanksgiving food? How many of you think it's better than the actual meal itself? Okay, so some people, I say, no, it's not quite as good as that leftover, or that meal. But leftover food, leftover love is not as good as original, giving your spouse or giving your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your partner or your family members or your parents the best. Leftover love is not good. Rebecca and I, we have a pact. I do not give her leftover love from what the ministry takes out of me. You know that? And she has made a pact with me that she's going to do her best to not give me leftover love from what I'm experiencing with the kids. Because we want to give each other the best. That's why we have a time every morning before I go to work and before the kids get up that we at least just connect together and talk with each other, pray with each other. Leftover love is not as good. Leftover offerings don't impress God. How do I say this? You're not doing God a favor by giving Him your leftovers. He does not need your money. He does not need your money. He's needing your heart. He's needing your faith. And so it's important that we understand that when we're giving God an offering, we give Him the best. We give Him the firstlings, the first fruits. We give Him the best, the fattened calf, what's right off the top and not leftovers. In all reality, you know, God is not, and this might be debatable, and you can share it with me later, much later if you want. God is not concerned with what amount we give to Him. Do you know that? He's not that concerned with that. He's concerned with what's going on in here. How many of you know that to be true? He's concerned with that. Because when your heart is in line with your wallet, I wish I had my wallet. Does anybody have a wallet? Johnny got a wallet? Anybody? It'll be back. Thank you, Delmar. Yeah. When your heart is in line with this, then what comes out of this is a reflection of what's coming out of this. You tracking with me? Yeah? It's true. God's not concerned with how much comes out of this. He's concerned with how much is coming out of this, how much is coming out of us. Because how much is coming out of us, it will be reflected in how much is coming out of this. Thank you, John. You want me to hold on to it for you a while? It looked pretty thick, man. I can hold on to it. Leftover offerings, the first fruit offerings. The question for you, what kind of offerings are you bringing to your God? In your notes, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There's a top artist in country music scene. His name is Toby Keith. How many of you have heard of Toby Keith? Yeah? He's kind of a bad boy country singer. He's got a pretty good voice. He's got a lot of popularity. He's just on the national scene. He is at the top of his game, Toby Keith. He wrote a song called My List. I don't know if you've ever heard that. And in that song, My List, he's talking about doing important things on his list and not doing the non-important things on it. He's got a long list of things to do, and he's going to start moving things that are really important to him to the top and let the other things fall kind of to the wayside. And I want to read some lyrics here in this song, and I'm not bashing on him. Hang on, we're going to stay with me. He says this in this song, My List. He says, "I'm going to wade the shore and cast a line, look up a long-lost friend of mine, sit on the porch and give my girl a kiss, start living. That's the next thing on my list. Raise a little hell, laugh till it hurts, put an extra five in the plate at church." Now stop there. Put an extra five in the plate at church. I'm not trying to defame him. I'm not trying to discredit or to devalue his name. But Toby Keith makes millions and millions of dollars a year. You know that? He makes millions of dollars. Do you think putting an extra five in the plate at church is a first fruit offering or is it a leftover offering? Go ahead and shout it out. What do you think? Obviously, it's lyrics. It's just lyrics. I don't know if this is Toby Keith. We don't even really know if this is his song. He's singing it. So I'm not trying to defame Toby Keith. But the principle, this illustrates a principle, these lyrics, that happens in churches and in church folk all across America. Both Christians and non-Christians giving God the leftovers. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart means giving Him the best. And that's the first fruit of what you have. Tithing money and giving money to the church, it requires sacrifice. Did you know that? It does. It requires a sacrifice. I've come across people, maybe you have, that said, I don't need money. I'll just give it all away, and whatever the Lord provides, He provides, and I'm just going to give all my money away. And I just want to say, you know, what planet are you living on? That's not real life, right? Money and tithing money, if we're going to put a check or put money in the plate, it's going to require a sacrifice and it's going to require faith. Tithing principle that would be a good starting point. You can write this down. It's not in your notes, but if you want to write this down, and I'll explain this. When we're talking about tithing, and we're talking about giving money, and we're talking about giving our first fruit offering, if it doesn't hurt a little, it's not enough. Because a little hurt means you're having faith. And you're sacrificing something to give it away. That's why 10%, when God says give 10%, that's the goal, obviously. 10%, that's a great number because 10% hurts a little, no matter how much you make. If you make $200 a month, 10% hurts a little. If you make $200,000 a month, 10% of that, it hurts a little. 10% is a great number because it does hurt a little, but it's also not enough. And God knows this. It's also not enough to break the bank. But 10% is just that perfect number, man. Oh, I could really do something else with this, but God knows that. He wants our best. You might say, God wants me to hurt. No, God wants to increase your faith. Yes, He wants to increase your faith. When He increases your faith, you can trust in Him. When you trust in Him, He'll bless you for it. And because He blesses you, you trust Him more. And then He blesses you more. And then you trust Him more. Then He blesses you more and He trusts you more. He wants to increase your faith. When we are not giving God our money to God, or when we're not giving our money to God, that means that we have a little bit too tight of a grip on our money. Remember, I don't know, several weeks ago, I used that illustration of the open palms, right? When our open palms are like this, God can give us money and also we can give money away. But if our hands are like this, how can we give anything to God? We have our hands so tight on what little we have, we can't even give it away. And I challenge you as a church, when you're talking about giving God in your offering, give Him the best that you have. And we're going to get real practical here in a second. Matthew, in your notes, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." When you can trust money, when you can trust God with your money, you know, that is probably one of the most challenging aspects of faith there is. Do you know that? It's probably trusting God with your money. When you can trust God with your money, you can trust Him in a lot of other areas in your life. I don't know what it is about money. Jesus talked a lot about money. But when you can trust Him with money, when you can trust Him with it, you can trust Him with a lot of other areas as well. And so I encourage you, but I also challenge you at the same time, when giving your best and giving an offering before the Lord, we're talking about financial offering here, give the Lord your best. And there's grace. If you're not up at 10%, we're going to talk about that. That's okay. Give Him something. Start somewhere. The four action steps in your notes here. Here's a great way to do this. Start by inviting, you might need to fill this in, start by inviting the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Invite the Holy Spirit to convict and to compel you to give to Him. Say, "Holy Spirit, every Sunday morning, would you just speak to me and remind me that I'm supposed to give not out of obligation, but out of a free spirit, out of already a thankful spirit, I want to give to you." Ask the Holy Spirit to remove that leftover mentality from your mind. That's a prayer. You want to pray a dangerous prayer? That's a dangerous prayer. Ask the Lord, "Holy Spirit, remove the leftover mentality that I have in my spirit. Let me have a first fruit. Let me have an able offering type of mentality." The second thing here in your notes, four action steps. Start with a figure. If you can't start at 10%, friends, there's grace. There is grace there. You know, I talked to a man that he said, "You know, I'm just giving," this was in a previous ministry, he said, "I'm just learning to give $25 a month now." And at first, you know, it's like, wow, what, is that a little amount or what? No, you know what? He was starting with nothing. So $25 a month was a huge step for him. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. He's moving into that. There's grace. So 10%, yeah, that is the goal to start. But start with a figure. If you're not giving anything to the church, start with something. $5, $10. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a figure. And then commit to that. Commit to that. The goal is not to, it is the goal, the goal is not to start giving 10%. The goal is to start, right? That's the goal. If you've started and you're around 5% or you're, hey, pray about giving 10%. If you're a mature Christian, pray about giving 10%. Do it. The Lord will bless you for it. If you haven't give, if you don't give, if you don't give money at all to the church, pray about just a figure. Lord, what is it that I'm going to commit to? I'm going to commit to $20 or $40 or something like that. Give the Lord our first fruits offering. Number three. See, that's the Lord reminding us. That's what you need to do. Ding, ding, ding. Listen to this point. Number three. Budget your tithe first. Budget your tithe first. This is a big principle. According to a recent survey from the Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey, 72% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. 72%. Which tells me that 7 out of 10 people in here, if we have 100 people in here, 70 of us live paycheck to paycheck. So, like on, let's say this were our budget sheet. We got electricity, we have PGE, we have Northwest Natural, we have Dish Network TV, we have, oh yeah, food. We have food. We need clothes. And then many times what happens is we budget all these things, and at the very bottom, if there's anything left over, we throw it at Richmond Community Church. Oh yeah. Or, you know, tithe, their offering, something like that. That's because we have our budgets upside down. Start with tithe. Start with the necessities, food and the things that are going to keep your house warm and clothing and things like that. And then pray. God, say, Lord, I'm going to start with tithe first. And if we make the rest of the bills, praise Lord. But one thing, I am not going to rob you because you have the ability to increase this page all the way down. Didn't hear a single amen. So I'm on an island. Turn your budgets upside down. Rebecca and I did this a few years ago. I wish I could confess that I wish I could say, you know, I've always had this discipline. No. We used to do that. We got to have food, and Ethan and all these, we need to put some tithe in there. We had it upside down. Now, by the grace of God, we have our priorities straight. And you know what? We don't have any lack at all. We don't have any lack at all. Because God, miraculously, He is able to multiply money, isn't He? Has anybody ever experienced this? Yeah? Okay. Ricky, you have? Yeah? Pastor Frank? Good. Yeah, it's true. Budget your tithe first. Number four, and then we'll move on. Get accountable. This isn't about telling somebody else the figure that you're going to give. This is about telling somebody else that you are going to give. This is about asking somebody, hey, this is an issue in my life. And I would be willing to, you know, if you want to let me know and say, Pastor Jeff, this is an area that I need to work on, I need to focus on. I would be honored if you told me that. Find somebody that can hold you accountable, that can say, have you given this month? Have you given this week? Find some accountability, because when you make it public, it's exactly that. It's public. It's no longer a secret private life that you're trying to hide within you. You can make it public. So get accountable. Those are four action steps that'll help you start in giving your best, your first fruits to the Lord financially. If Cain were here today, sitting right next to me on this stool, I believe he would say, because what we're about to see all started from this principle, I believe he would say, don't give God your leftovers. Don't do it. You'll be tempted to do it. Don't do it. Number two. This is big. If Cain were here today, if he could speak, if he could talk, I believe he would say, watch out for the bitter root. Watch out for the bitter root, friends. If you look at verse 5, God had no regard for Cain's sacrifice and for his offering. Excuse me. And Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Cain was unsure why God blessed his brother and not him. So Cain immediately drew conclusions. He didn't go to God. He didn't ask for clarity. The Bible has no record of that. He got angry, the Bible did say. A bitter root started to grow inside of his heart toward his brother. Just like if somebody does something to you that you don't understand, be very quick to ask clarity and to ask for understanding so that a bitter root doesn't grow up inside of you. How a bitter root is planted, I think it's on the back side of your notes. How a bitter root is planted, and this is out of my own failure, actually. It says out of Pastor Jeff's journal. This is how a bitter root, and I believe Scripture affirms this big time. Number one, a bitter root is planted in your heart with misunderstanding. Misunderstandings plant the bitter root in your life. We draw conclusions due to misunderstandings. I remember in a ministry previous to this, as you notice, I don't use a lot of illustrations with this ministry yet. I'm using them in the past. Okay, in the past ministry, somebody sent me a really negative email. Have you ever got one of those? Just a real nasty, you did this. I took it as a personal attack on my ministry, on my faith, on my family, on everything I was trying to do as a pastor. I took it as a personal attack. I drew conclusions. And guess what I did? Just email her back. Send. Bow. Right decision, wrong decision. I completely misunderstood what this person was trying to say through this email. That's why emails, if you email me and it's a big issue, I won't email you back. I want to talk with you about it. Footnote, and here's just a hint from my own failure. Wait at least 6 hours before responding to a negative email. Right? How many is that? Wait, calm yourself down. Wait 24 hours. But immediately I was, well, I didn't say that. And then I pushed send, pow, and it went. And that person came back to me and said, you know, that wasn't even what I was saying. You completely misunderstood. I did have an issue with this, but I wasn't saying that. And you attacked me here. And oh my goodness, it just went big. And do you know what? Even though we met and hugged and embraced and said sorry, do you know our relationship is still not the same as it was? All because of a misunderstanding. All because a bitter root quickly grew up in my heart and I immediately pressed send. That's how a bitter root is planted, by misunderstandings. The second way that that bitter roots plant in your life starts with an A. A, anger. Anger, when you're angry. Have you ever been unloaded on by somebody who has been angry at you and you didn't know it? Right? You did something to them, you know, I don't know, back in 1972, and they still remember it, and they are angry, and then you do something else, and then you make another mistake in front of them, and then you do this, and then you say that, and then all of a sudden, a year passes, 2 years passes, 3 years pass, and finally the straw that breaks the camel's back comes out, and it's an explosion in relationship. They unleash on you because they're angry at you. Why? Because the situations were all that big? No. They just allowed a bitter root to be planted in their heart with anger. Anger plants the bitter root. If you look at Cain, he was angry. And because he was angry and he didn't deal with his anger, it caused him to make several bad decisions. The first of all, killing a brother that he loved. That is a bitter root. Because anger that is not dealt with doesn't just go away. How many of you know that? That is true. The third thing, the third way, that final way that a bitter root is planted, unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict plants a bitter root in your life. Do you know, some people just don't understand that relational conflict doesn't just disappear on its own. You know that? It doesn't just go away. It's not just something that you had against somebody. Now it's all better now. No, it's not that way. You know that you're in relational conflict. I did this. You know when you're in relational conflict, when you have to duck in the grocery store pretending like somebody doesn't see you. Or you have to try to hide over here. Maybe they won't notice me. Maybe, you'll, you know, you turn, oh, look at that over there. You know, and they're over here. You know you're in relational conflict. You have issues that you have not dealt with, that you have not dug up, and that is causing, and it will ultimately cause your future's blessing. How a bitter root is planted in your life? Unresolved conflict. So there's homework in here, just like there's homework with the budgeting thing and tithing. The homework is this. Dig it up. Dig it up. Or watch it grow in your life. This is debatable. I've had many people counsel me and say, don't dig up old stuff. Don't bring up, you know, water that's under the bridge and things like that. Well, if you don't dig it up and deal with a bitter root, what will a root do if you don't cut it out? It will continue to grow. Yeah. Yeah. Same way. Same principle. In relational conflicts with the bitter roots, you've got to dig that stuff up. Okay, so you got to call somebody you haven't called in 2 years. Fine, dig it up and just make peace with men. And we're going to go to that scripture here in a second in Hebrews. But dig that stuff up and cut out those bitter roots in your life. Because if you don't, they will ultimately cause your demise. Just ask Cain. It happened to Cain. Bitter roots are no respecter of persons. It'll happen to you. It'll happen to me. Okay, let's move on. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I have a feeling that was for somebody. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 with me in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 12. Start at verse 14. We'll go to 14 and 15. The author of Hebrews says this, "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. See to it that no root of..." What's the next word? "No root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled," including Abel. Because Cain had a bitter root, Abel paid for it. So did Cain's wife and the rest of the family. "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, but that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many may be defiled." It's important. Dig up the bitter root in your life. Dig up the bitter root that you have with other people. It's going to hurt, yeah, and it's not fun. Yeah, it's not fun, but dig it up. You know, Jesus says, and I'm going to walk down the aisle here for a sec. Jesus says that there's only one thing you need to do when presenting an offering to the Lord. You don't have to cut up yourself. You don't have to spill blood, anything like that. Jesus did. The only thing you have to do when you're coming to bring an offering before the Lord, as you present it, and if you're at the altar, and when you're at the altar, you remember this? You remember that you have odds with your brother. What do, church? Leave your gift at the altar. And I don't have any odds against you, but I'm using you as an example. Leave your gift at the altar and go make amends. That's the only thing you have to do when presenting an offering before the Lord. Because sometimes I've done this, so I'm not pulling out the bullwhip. Sometimes we can come to church and we can worship and we can sing and we can listen to the message and nothing is happening in our hearts. Not because anything up here is wrong, but you have issues with other people and you have division in your heart with somebody else. Jesus says, leave all this other stuff, go make amends. When I was listening to Pastor Val's sermon, I don't know if it was Stuckaditis or another sermon before that, and I don't even know if this is... Pastor Val stopped his message and went to somebody, I don't know who it was, and he went to somebody, and he stopped what he was doing, and he went to somebody, and it looks like he made amends with him. Wow! Is that true, or am I way off base? That's what you call authentic worship. Swallowing your pride, leaving your gift at the altar, and going making amends. So, a bitter root is planted in Cain's heart, and the bitter root that was caused in Cain's heart caused him to kill Abel, and it caused a whole lot of other things, and we're going to get to this here in a second. So, question for you. Talk with the other person that you have odds against. Think about that person. Think about it. The relational conflict. Dig that stuff up. Your pastor is telling you to dig that stuff up and begin to cut it out and weed it out. And you know what? Even if you have to talk to the person that you think have odds against you, verse 14 in Hebrews just said, pursue peace with all men. So just say, you know, I don't know, but it's, you're responding to me a little different. I don't know. Have I done something to offend you? Have I said something? I can just tell that there's some weird vibes going on between you and me. Is there anything that I can talk to you about? Even if that's what it means, go do it. Pursue peace with all men. Because bitter roots inside of you, it will defile many. And it will really cause havoc, like we're about to look at. Number three in our notes. That was for somebody. I don't know who, but the Holy Spirit's saying that to somebody. Verse 3. Maybe all of us, huh? If Cain were here today, Cain would say, watch out for the bitter root. But number 3, Cain would say, pay close attention to God's warnings. Pay close attention to God's warnings. God said, if you do, in verse 7, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But Cain, you must master it. That was a warning out of love from God to Cain. God said, Cain, you're about to make some pretty poor decisions here. I can see farther than you can see. Sin is crouching at your door. It's waiting for you. But if you don't take care of this bitterness, this anger, if you don't master this issue in your life, it's going to ultimately cause you to do something that you will regret. That was a warning from God out of love. If Cain were here, I believe he would say, pay attention to God's warnings. He is not joking. We all have issues, right? We all have issues. The Bible says in Hebrews, right? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. God told Cain, if you don't master this, if you don't get some help, it will ultimately destroy you. And it was never dealt with, and guess what? It did destroy Cain, especially with a murder. We all have issues, like I mentioned before. We've got to deal with those issues that we have. We've got to deal with them. God has sent me here to tell somebody today that the one thing in your life that you're choosing to ignore, that issue in your life, you know, that one thing that you have, if you're choosing to ignore it, and if it's not dealt with, it's going to destroy you. And you know what? It will alter the path that you will intend to walk. It will completely alter. It will change it. If you have an anger issue, get some help before it destroys you. I say that with grace. Get some help before it destroys you. If you have a lust issue, get some help before it destroys you. If you have a gossip issue, get some help before it destroys you and a lot of other people. If you have a drinking issue, get some help. If you have a drug issue, get some help. If you have a spending a lot of money issue, get some help. If you have an abuse, verbal abuse, get some help before it destroys you. Get help. God could see what Cain was about to do. And God loved Cain so much. See, this is where, I don't know if we've heard this before. God loved Cain so much that he warned him what he was about to do before he even did it. Because God didn't want Cain to do that. But Cain wasn't listening to the warnings of God. And he continued to move on in an area in life that was not healed in him and he did not deal with. And it caused an alternative path for him. Turn with me to Malachi, if you would. Malachi. We're doing a little Bible flipping today. Is that okay? Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, so if you hit Matthew, it's the book right before it. Malachi chapter 1. This is a famous scripture. When God tells us that our financial life will be cursed if we do not bring our tithes and our offerings to Him, you know what? God is not joking. He's not kidding. At the same time, when God says you will financially be blessed beyond measure when you give, He's not joking. Hallelujah. He's not kidding. You will be. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11 through 14. Look at this. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain of offering that is pure for my name will be great among the nations, says Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is, and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery, and what is lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord, for I am great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. In other words, he's saying, cursed is the man who leaves the best that he has for himself and gives me a bunch of leftovers. Whoa. That's a warning from the Lord. Flip over to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Malachi. Verse 7, from the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. God says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return to you? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have you robbed? Or how have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe, here's the promise, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of ground, nor your vine in the field cast its grape, says the Lord of hosts. When God, that is a warning from the Lord, a warning that's a good warning and also a bad warning. When God says he will bless you financially when you bring to me the tithes and offerings that you should be bringing to me, he will bless you abundantly, more than what you even can imagine. It might be ways that you would have no idea, but he will bless you. At the same time, when he says in verse 7 that you are cursed by robbing me, our financial life will be cursed if we don't bring offerings and tithes before the Lord. When God withholds something from us, don't assume that it's because he doesn't love you. He's withholding it from you because he can see farther than you can see. And he says, don't do it, Cain. Deal with this because I can see what you're about to do. Sometimes I'll say, Jeff, I'm not going to give this to you because I can see what you're going to do with it if I do give it to you. If Cain were here today, I believe he would say, pay close attention to God's warnings. Don't think of them lightly. Number four. If Cain were here today, I believe he would say, watch out for the chain reaction. Watch out for the chain reactions. Look at verse 5. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Verse 8. Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Verse 9, he says, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 12, God says, when you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a vagabond or a wanderer on the earth. Cain's offering wasn't regarded by God, so it triggered a misunderstanding between Cain and God, which triggered dealing with a bitter root that went up in his heart. Cain didn't deal with it, and so it triggered anger. And since Cain didn't deal with his anger, anger turned into violence. And before Cain was able to do that, he went right and he killed his brother in the field. And after he killed his brother in the field, he went into denial. Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? That's denial. Footnote. Don't be in denial of the issues that you and I have. Deal with it. Oftentimes people won't get help because they think that their problem is not so... Well, it's not that bad. Well, you're telling me to do that? It's not that bad in my life. I don't have that big of a problem. That's denial. Cain had denial. Abel's murder turned into the curse that Cain brought on himself, which ultimately caused Cain to be a vagabond and a wanderer with a difficult road up ahead in his life. That is what you call a chain reaction. A chain reaction is when one bad decision leads to another bad decision, which leads to another bad decision. It's a sequence, and it ultimately you find yourself wandering out far from your roots, far from how you were raised, and you're asking yourself, where has my life gone? What has happened to me? Have you ever asked yourself that? What has happened to me? It's a chain reaction. Decisions that are caused by chain reactions can ultimately alter the direction and the destiny that God had originally intended for you. I wonder what Cain would have done if he didn't get kicked out and he didn't kill his brother. I wonder if he would be thought of highly. Not sure. All of us have made some chain reaction decisions that we thought we would never make. We made some decisions that were caused by past decisions, which were caused by past decisions, which were caused by past decisions. It's a chain reaction. Many of you know, a few weeks ago, I told the story of my TV, right? Do you guys remember this? Obviously, you do. I had four people offer me a TV after that message, saying, you know, because here's a nutshell. Made a bad decision. I went and purchased a TV out of a van in the middle of the night. TV didn't work, right? All right. I have an update of this story, okay? Here's a chain reaction with your pastor. Isn't it amazing how we can be so disciplined in one area of our life, right? But completely undisciplined in a whole other area. Is it just me? Or is that, yeah? That's true. Rebecca and I, we don't struggle necessarily with tithing. But when it comes to another area, for me, it's televisions. For me, it's a whole other, I'm wrestling. I'm in a chain, I'm caught up in a chain reaction. Here's what I mean. Since we've been here in 4 months, I have personally gone through 6 TVs. You're shaking your head, Jason. It's true. We came with a 27-inch. We said, no, that wasn't it. We wanted a nice TV, so we got a DLP projection machine. Ask Val. He can attest to this. We got rid of that. Then we went to the TV that I told you about earlier in the middle of the van. Came back, didn't work. You know, we went to a 42-inch plasma. We wanted a bigger one downstairs. We sold that, got rid of that, went to another one, got a big. I went on the other extreme from the van to the TV. I went to the other extreme. I got a very nice, really big, really big. Anybody remember how big? 58-inch plasma TV. Okay? Cha-ching. Right? Really big. We don't have that TV anymore. We got rid of it. We finally said, why am I saying we? It was really me. I shouldn't bring her into this at all. It was me. But we're sitting there and we're saying, ouch, this costs a lot of money. Maybe we spent too much money on this. Some of it we bought cash, some of it we paid credit. And sure enough, we did. And you know what? I got rid of the TV. And now I don't have the 58 plasma TV. Somebody graciously has given me another TV that is down. And we've been through 6 TVs. Why am I saying we? I've gone through 6 TVs. Now, before you throw your stones at me, okay? Drop them. Because we all have our issues. You're looking at a pastor who's got issues when it comes. I am speaking about a chain reaction, and I am caught up in my own chain reaction. A poor decision with TV leads to another poor decision, which leads to another poor decision, which leads to a really big, expensive, poor decision, which leads to another poor. And I'm caught up in, and you know what? If Cain were here today, he'd tell me, Jeff, it's going to kill you, and you're going to go broke doing it. Chain reactions are very, very important to notice and to recognize in our lives. Have you made decisions based on chain reactions. Because there's two types of living. One is reactionary living, to where you're always constantly reacting to what has happened to you. You're reacting, you're reacting. And the other one is actually purposely getting there on purpose. Actually doing that. And I am caught up in a chain reaction. I'm caught up in chain reaction with TVs. I am a freak when it comes to TVs. Don't offer me any more TVs, people, okay? Don't. I don't know if I'll abuse it. Don't offer me. Just confessing to you. I can be disciplined over here, but with TVs, I don't know what's going to happen. But chain reaction. If Cain were here today, I believe he would say, watch out for the chain reactions in your life. So there's four things. You have the opportunity to bring God your best, or you have the opportunity to bring God your leftovers. If Cain were here, he would say, watch out for chain reactions. He would say, watch out for the bitter root. What's the third one? Remember? Watch out for God's warnings. And don't give God your leftovers. That is the word of the Lord for today, for us. Let's stand, if we would. Hope that was for somebody. I believe it was. I think the Holy Spirit laid that on my heart. Let's have the worship team come up and we'll...